Hi everyone, I'm Kelly Lindsley, and I consider myself primarily a singer-songwriter from the North Texas area. It's a privilege to be with you here today, and I'm grateful to have this opportunity from BPN as they continue to expand their mission. I would urge you not only to pray for Brother Dale and his staff, but to provide some tangible support for them as well. That said, I'm got to be honest with you, I'm kind of feeling like Peter at this point when he began to sink in the water. That walking on water idea sounded like a great, great plan until he began to sink, and then it became a different story. When Preaching Sundays was first announced, it kind of piqued my curiosity, but I thought that would be about all. Biggest experience of this is doing a high school Bible study for several years. They keep coming, and so we keep having them. But I really am stepping outside of my comfort zone today as far as the recording and the radio and that kind of thing, so you might need to bear with me. That being said, we're going to look at Judges 6 today, the story of Gideon. Gideon's one of my favorite individuals in the Old Testament, and I think his story is very timely and relevant to the age that we find ourselves in. So, beginning with chapter 6, verse 1, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years." I want to stop right there just to real briefly. The Lord's forgiveness is always there. But I think we live in an era right now that we have a tendency to forget that that there are consequences to what we do as well. You know, Israel, the children of Israel, were clearly not doing the things that they needed to do. And you even see later that one of the things that Gideon did was to tear down an idol. There was, and the people were furious about it. They were active idol worshipers. And as a result, the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. You know, if you're a young person and you decide that you want to have sex with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and she gets pregnant, the forgiveness of the Lord is there. But so are the consequences of what you have done. And even if, you know, frankly, even if she doesn't get pregnant, you've got the risk of bringing an STD into your marriage down the road. If you're an adult and you decide to do something illegal, you might bear the consequences of that. We need to make sure that, yes, the Lord is a God of love, and he is a God of grace and forgiveness. But you also bear consequences. And that seems to be lost in the teaching of God at this point in some cases. Verse 2, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel." One translation says they oppressed Israel. "Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of East would come up against them." Verse 4, "Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey." Verse 5, "For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it." One translation says to waste it. Verse 6, "So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." I think we need to be clear on the reality of how brutal warfare was back then. It was completely hand-to-hand and very, very bloody, etc. We see the modern day crosshairs where these smart bombs are dropped and the little puff of smoke when the target is destroyed, and we don't see a lot of the end results of that. But the Midianites and their colleagues, they weren't playing here. They did not care whether the Israelites died or not. They didn't care whether they starved them to death. And the reality of it is they probably thought they had a pretty good thing going, because the Israelites were able to sow seed and to get them to harvest, but they would just come in and steal the food. The last phrase in verse 6, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. You see that phrase in Judges quite a bit, because they would end up going through this cycle. The Lord would bless them, and they would live in a time of prosperity and blessing. And then they would kind of fall away because they didn't feel the need for the Lord's covering and his blessing. They would fall away and do evil, and then the Lord would allow their enemies to come in and rule over them. Then they would repent, and then the Lord would forgive them and bring about that period of blessing and prosperity again. And the cycle would begin over again. And you see it over and over and over for several hundred years. And I think we would do well to see what kind of stage we're in that cycle right now as a nation today. Verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. Verse 9, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here's the key verse here, but you have not obeyed my voice. We go back, which is very similar to what we saw in verse 1. There were consequences to them not doing what they needed to do. And you see it here again, the principle of consequence because of their disobedience. And now we get to verse 11, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time here in this interchange between the angel of the Lord and the Lord and Gideon. I think this is a fascinating passage. Verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. A couple things there. You don't normally thresh wheat in a wine press. It was something that he was doing as a way of subterfuge to put them off the scent, so to speak, and he could thresh wheat and hopefully provide for his family. But it's interesting too that he was hiding. You know, I think Gideon could probably take me, so I want to be kind here, but he was hiding. And after 7 years of oppression, we might be too. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, and I love this, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I think it's important to note here that even Gideon didn't see himself as very mighty in this circumstance. He's just doing the best he can to provide for his household. And it's also important to note that it appears that he didn't really know who was standing in front of him. He apparently thought it was just some old geezer who wandered off the road and came by to talk to him. But the most important point, in my opinion, is the Lord was seeing Gideon as a spiritual being. He was seeing him, he was not seeing him in his weakened natural state. He was looking at his potential. To look at ourselves not with the natural eyes, with the limitations and the difficulties and the bad habits that we have, but to see things in the way the Lord would see us, to see things with the potential that can run through our lives and impact people in a very great way. You've got to recognize that at this stage, Gideon had no clue that he was capable of what he would eventually do in providing deliverance to the people of Israel from Midianites. I mean, he just had no idea that that was even somewhere close to being on his agenda. And it reminds me of the phrase, too, that we're spiritual beings having a natural experience. You know, we've got to begin to look at our lives and our potential and in a spiritual realm. But again, we get back to verse 13, and Gideon goes completely back into his whine mode again. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Israel? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I've actually taught on this passage several times because, again, it's one of my favorites. And I'm always tempted to use my little whiny voice when I am speaking the verses that Gideon would speak. But the reality of it is I use my whiny voice a little too much. And the first time I heard it on audio, I was like, no, you can't do that. I've given it a lot of practice over the years, and it is really whiny. So I'm going to spare you of that. Of course, I'm sure that none of you can relate to that. And I probably should say that's a little sarcasm there. It may be hard to tell on the radio, but that was some sarcasm right there. I'm sure that there are plenty of you out there that can relate to that. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. This is a very important point. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? You know, as I mentioned, Gideon still doesn't know who this guy is, but it's important to keep in mind both of those phrases, but particularly the first one, go in this might of yours. You know, if we're in the worst situation that we can imagine ourselves in, we need to step up in whatever might we have left to see what the Lord can do through us. Go in this might of yours. To Gideon, in Gideon's eyes, he didn't see much. He saw the oppression, the difficulty, the struggle just to stay alive. And he's got some guy standing there telling him to go in the might of yours. Well, what does that mean? You know, it didn't mean anything to Gideon. But it's also important that we look at things in hindsight to recognize that we need to go in whatever we've been given, however little that might be, in order that the Lord can really move through us and perhaps provide some significant deliverance to people around us and significant impact to the people around us. But you look at verse 15 and Gideon is back to his whine mode again. Now, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You will see later on in this account that Gideon took 10 of his servants somewhere, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where it is right at the moment, but he took 10 of his servants. I mean, how many of us would like to be that weak, okay? I mean, 10 servants. And one of the things we need to be cautious about is when we're hitting those rough spots, we need to not make it sound worse than it really is. You know, it did sound like they were obviously in a difficult spot, but he had 10 servants. Verse 16, And the Lord said to him, and another important point, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And I think at this stage, Gideon is just like, you know, it's been nice talking to you. But, you know, I'm sure that someone else would like to talk to you at this point. I mean, it makes no sense to Gideon what the Lord is telling him. It makes no sense at all. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't make any sense to us either. But that doesn't take away the responsibility that we have to step up, to go in this might of yours, to accomplish what can be accomplished. Whether that's a little thing or whether that becomes a big thing is really not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to go in this might of yours. There's some important points that I want to go back to, because I think we need to not forget this. And like I said, I think this is a very timely recount of Gideon's life. The first point is just as the angel of the Lord saw Gideon, he's looking at you in all your spiritual potential, not the weakness of someone that's just scrounging away in fear. You know, our tendency is just to shrink back. You know, how can we possibly manage to do this? I think that has been part of the spiritual battle. The enemy conditions us all our lives to thinking, oh, well, don't think too much of yourselves. Well, there's truth to that. But there's also the truth that we need to make ourselves available in order for the Lord to move through us and provide the very best, not only to us personally, but more importantly, I think, to the people around us. We've got to get out of the mindset that our tendency of shrinking back. We've got to get out of that mindset. And another point, that go in this might of yours. We talked at length about that a little bit ago because it is so important. When it doesn't seem like it's happening, when we, you know, we seem to think that we'll wait till we get our act together, or we'll wait till this, or we'll wait till that. But we need to go. We can't sit and wait. We cannot sit and wait. You know, it grieves me, the state of our country right now. We can't just sit and wait. We talk a lot about the 2 Chronicles 7:14 passage, but our tendency is to complain about, well, if these people would just do this, or if Hollywood would just do this. Well, that verse is about if his people will respond with action, if his people will make themselves available. Go in this might of yours. What do you have available today that you can do? And, you know, if you find yourself in a mess, the reality of it is you could be a significant leader someday. And I can hear it, well, no, not me. Well, that's what Gideon thought. That's what Moses thought. That's not a common thing. We have this tendency, as I just said, to think that we're not capable of doing this. We don't need to be capable of everything the Lord calls us to do. We need to be available. You know, and you might say, well, I really messed up here and it was just all my fault, you know, and Moses murdered the Egyptian. David committed adultery and then murdered her husband. I mean, the Lord still did significant things in both of their lives. And the last point, and we've touched on all three of these, but I want to reiterate them because I think they're so important. Surely I will be with you. And I'm gonna propose something here to you, and if you might even want to call it homework, I don't really know. But I want you to get out of your comfort zone this week. And I don't know what that means to you. I mean, that That may mean getting up another 5 or 10 minutes early to spend more time in prayer or more time in the Word, or, you know, encouraging the checkout person in the Walmart Walmart lane, or even stepping out and just seeing somebody that needs some prayer at Walmart. I mean, something. But remember, the Lord's looking at you in your spiritual potential, in your spiritual potential. And step into it. Step into the very best that He's wanting to have, to see you work through. Go in this might of yours. You know, if you're a whiner like Gideon, hey, you are qualified. that just gives me all sorts of encouragement. I mean, if you're a whiner, you're qualified. There is so much potential within all of us. And surely He will be with you. You know, one of the things that it was just a pleasure to hear the Greenville revivalist. And he said, this is not a spectator sport. And after being there virtually every night for 20 weeks, I'm sure that's very much the case. I had a friend post something about the butterfly effect relatively recently. And I'm not sure I believe that entire theory that, you know, even just the slightest thing can make significant difference. But I am a big believer that if Christians would just unite and do all of their parts, no matter how small, that there would be major impact that would be made around the world. But we've got to get out of our comfort zone. You know, this isn't something that I mentioned before. This isn't something that has been comfortable for me, but it was something that I felt like I needed to do. There's an aspect of being a servant of Christ that we need to step into. That's where the blessings are going to be. That's where the servanthood is going to be, that's going to release great things throughout the body. I want to finish up this segment of Scripture, beginning in verse 17. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. He was beginning to suspect what's really going on here. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. An ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. 24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. We can't just continue to hide in our misery like Gideon did. The Lord is peace, and we've got to get out of our comfort zone to find it. I'm going to switch gears here and close with a song called Offerings of Praise. There's a passage in Psalm 50 that says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And this song talks about how the things we do can be offerings of praise to Him. I started singing the song almost immediately after I wrote it a few years ago, which was actually kind of rare. And I approached it then as a praise song, as a worship song. But now I see it more as a song about availability. The first line of the song says, "Here I am again to offer praise." And I see that now as a line that we should be thinking of when we first wake up and our feet hit the floor. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to offer something that will bring you glory. Gideon was not of that mindset. He was of the mindset of, how can I get through another day? But I'd urge you this week to make yourself more available to him, to listen for that still small voice in making a greater impact for him in those around you.
Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to hear that still small voice, hoping that somehow this will be new, hoping that somehow this will be one more step. So I lift my voice, and I'll bring the finest praise that I can give to you. And so I lift my hands, I'll be offering these hands to be your hands through me. And so I take the steps down the path that I must walk, that may be lonely. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to offer all I am. May it all be offerings of praise. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to hear that still small voice, hoping that somehow this will be new, hoping that somehow this will be one more step. So I lift my voice, and I'll bring the finest praise that I can give to you. And so I lift my hands, I'll be offering these hands to be your hands through me. And so I'll take the steps down the path that I must walk, that may be lonely. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to offer all I am. May it all be offerings of praise. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to offer praise. Here I am again to offer praise.
Hi, this is Kelly again. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. If you'd like to get in touch with me, drop by the website at kellylindsleymusic.com. Lindsley is L-I-N-D-S-L-E-Y. There are some other song samples on there and other things, and I'm confident the CDs will be a blessing to you if you're interested. You can also reach me on Facebook at Kelly Lindsley Music as well. Thanks again for listening, and press into the very best that he has for you.